still love the Lord. But you know what? They maybe some older people said, I put in my time. I've done my work. And you know what? It's time for the younger people to take over. Now, I know there's some things you can't do, but it's not time for the younger people. It's time for us to work together for the glory of Jesus Christ, because you go into neutral, you're not going forward, you're going to go in backward. But most people think that if you in neutral, just want to take a break from things, just go into neutral, that you'll stay there, but you won't. You'll always go back. And that's what Paul was concerned about. So that's the context of chapter 4. He said, I want them to abound more and more. And you find that in verse 1, at the end of verse 1. God, so ye would abound more and more. So you'll continue to grow, that you'll continue work. So he writes this letter about some concerns. And some of the concerns, we know the first concern he had, we covered this a number of weeks ago, was in verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. The moral issues he was concerned about. Because these folks had been saved from an immoral background. You know, in the Greco-Roman world there, which they were in, it was wicked. It was very immoral. But even beyond that, the temples that they went to, the pagan temples they went to, were very immoral. They had prostitutes in the temple, and it was nothing for them to be immoral. It was nothing to have them more than one wife and have mistresses and things like that from the Roman influence that was there. These things were going on, and they were saved out of that. That's why there was such a transformation in their life. But Paul was concerned if they go back into neutral, if they just, you know, they were fired up for the Lord at the beginning, but it's been 9 months to a year now when he writes this letter, that they went into neutral. They just rested in the past. And he said, if you're not going forward, you're going backward. And he was afraid they were going to fall back into those immoral issues, some of those battles they have. And it's true in our world today. You know some folks who've come to church and they've went into neutral, shifted into neutral. And pretty soon you find them going back to their old friends, going back to their old haunts, their own hangout places, the places they used to have and you go back and you begin to pick up those old habits. They become a part of you, and you find yourself going backwards to the point where maybe even you stop going to church. We've seen it happen time and time again. So that's what Paul, this letter is designed with. And when he covered, and if you'll remember, those who've been with this series, he gave three reasons how not to fall back, how not to fall into neutral, how to overcome the flesh and the difficulty. He gives three in verses like 5 through 6 or 7. Then he gives three reasons why in verses 6 through 8. Because the Lord, you're going to stand before God one day. The Lord is just, and he's the avenger, Paul called it. He gave because God had a purpose for your life. These are the reasons you need to stay moving forward. Don't fall into neutral. And he that despises, you don't despise man, but you despise God. You're playing around with the wrong thing. I use the illustration of Ananias and Sapphira. They lied. Paul said, wasn't when you sold the house, the money in your hands? It was yours. You lied about how much you were given, but you've not lied unto me. You haven't lied unto the church. You've lied unto God. The Bible says he fell down dead, and Sapphira came in and repeated the same thing, and she fell down dead. And again, that doesn't happen today like that. But the truth is there that you haven't lied unto man, you've lied unto God. And I think there's a lot of Christians today that haven't lied to man. They haven't lied to their pastor. They haven't lied to the folks around them, but they've lied unto God. And so he gives three reasons. And so Paul's just trying to move them forward. But now he gets to verse 9. Verse 9 and 10, let me read it for you. But as touching brotherly love, ye need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. There's the idea. Don't go back into neutral. So in verses really 9 through 12, and I'm not going to have time to go through these all. I'm just going to get the first one done. But he gives four practical exhortations, so to speak. Four practical things you need to help you to not fall into neutral. That you'll continue to abound more and more. That you'll continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to increase more and more. How do you do that in your Christian life? Well, he gives the, and that's why you say, he says in verse 9, but as. He uses the phrase, but as. It introduces a change from the subject. Now remember, he just taught them and had a discussion about lust and the sexual sin. He didn't want them to fall back into that and to change. But as, that's a change of direction. Now all of a sudden, he's putting that behind in verse 8. Now in verse 9 and 10, he covers another practical exhortation, and the phrase is brotherly love, that ye, but as touching brotherly love. That's the idea, touching brotherly love. And remember the phrase, increase more and more. So what he's really teaching us here is a practical, you need to love each other more and more. Don't stop. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but love one another more. That's the exhortation. Don't fall into neutral. Just don't get comfortable with what's going on. Love each other more and more. That's the idea. And so he says, but as touching brotherly love. The brotherly love are originally referred to blood relatives. And it's interesting, I'm preaching this, and I have a lot of blood relatives here. And they're literally, he is my brother, and they're family to me. And that's what typically brotherly, when Paul says that, brotherly love. But the phrase brotherly love in the New Testament refers to Christian affection. It's brothers and sisters in Christ is what he's talking about here. So, but as touching brotherly love, that's your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now I can illustrate it like this. You know, I'm very close to my brother and sister because I grew up with them. They're family, they're blood. And all his children and my sister's children had to leave early this morning. They had to get to another family reunion that they were having. And I wish you could have met Bryce. He's doing a wonderful job pastoring out in Virginia. But they're family. But you know what? I love them. But this is my family, Faith Baptist Church. Because you're here all the time with me. You're for me. I can't tell you how many of you have rescued me. How many of you have come alongside me when I needed help, when I needed something. My brother and sister, they're not around. My family's not around, but my family of God is. And you become family. That's the idea that Paul has, but it's touching brotherly love. You know, many of you don't have a lot of family. I happen to have a lot of family, and you can see a lot of them over there. A lot of you don't have family. And this is your family. And that's what Paul says. As a family, we need to increase our love for each other more and more. Don't fall into neutral. Don't just sit back and just be happy with the way life is. Increase your love more and more. But as touching brotherly love, that's the idea. True biblical love is a recurring love. And again, in the New Testament, you'll find that true brotherly love is always an act of service in meeting the needs or doing something sacrificially for somebody. That's what brotherly love is. That's the phrase that he's using. It's doing something in an act of service in meeting the needs of others or in doing something sacrificially to benefit others. And the idea behind sacrificially, it's going to cost you something. It may cost you a little bit of time. It may cost you some money. It may cost you something, but you do it because they're your brothers and sisters in Christ, but as touching brotherly love. That's what he's saying there. You need to love each other more and more. It needs to increase more and more. It needs to abound more and more, the love we have for one another, because it's the key, and I'm going to show you that in just a second. Paul tells us in this passage, but as touching brotherly love, that's how he starts it. But as touching brotherly love, it's so important for us to love, not as we would love our blood relatives. But you're not my blood relatives, but you're bought with the same price I was bought for, the blood of Jesus Christ. And that way we become families. You know what? I pray for my family every day by name. It takes a while, but I pray for each one of you, my family, my name, because you're just as important to me as they are. That's what Paul's saying. You need to have a same concern for the family of God, the brothers and sisters you have in Christ at Faith Baptist Church or wherever you're at, as you do for your blood relatives. And it needs to increase more and more. You know, I ask myself, what have I done to meet the needs of somebody else at Faith Baptist Church? What have I not had to do that sacrificially give? And you know, I don't like to call out people because there's so many people. But I'm so appreciative of Ron taking the Shermans to many doctor's appointments. That's a lot of time. He's been so gracious with the Strovins and picks them up and takes them home. And you know what? It's not a burden to him. It's an opportunity to express the love of God. That's what Paul's talking about, but as touching brotherly love. And I ask you this question: what have you done for somebody? Have you prayed for them? There's so many in this church that have, if there's a need, I have a man in this church that calls me every single week, says, is there a need? Is there a need? Because I want to be a blessing. You know what? I'm old. I'm over 90 years of age. I can't even come to church anymore, but I can help somebody. But as touching brotherly love, Paul wanted the Thessalonian church to understand the importance of that thing of brotherly love. But there's a truth here you've got to see that I've got to get to in just a second. Because it's amazing, because he said, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. That's the most amazing part to me. Paul said, I don't have to write this unto you. I don't even have to teach you this. I don't even have to disciple you in this. Paul tells him there's no need to write to you Thessalonians about the love of the brother or the brotherly love, because you're already taught by God to love one another. You know, I think that's true of a lot of things in the Christian life. We talk so much about discipling, and I'm not against discipling. But it's so hard to connect in our society today because of busy schedules. But you know what? You don't need as much discipling as you think. Just get into the Word of God. You know, if you do what I tell you is wonderful. It's been the most wonderful thing for me to read Scripture at night. That's when I do my Scripture reading. And I bring Dr. McGee alongside. And listen, most of you say, I'm going to read the Bible through, and you get through Genesis, and it's fun. You get through the Exodus, and they're coming out of Moses leading the children of Israel, and it's fun. And then you know what you get into? The tabernacle. And then you get into Leviticus, the law. But I tell you what, when I read a chapter, and then I read Dr. McGee and some, I learn something every single night. It's exciting. I didn't have to have somebody teach me that. I just got to read it. I got to look for it. Now, listen to what Paul's saying here. This is the most amazing thing to me. He's saying, "I as touching brotherly love, we need to love more and more. That's the emphasis. You need to love your brothers and sisters more today than you did yesterday." And he's talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ in the Thessalonican church. But I need not write unto you. I don't even have to write about this. I don't even have to explain this to you. You know why? Because ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Again, every Christian who's a born-again believer is taught to love one another. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God," now this is at salvation, "because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The moment you were born again, the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you were truly born again, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you, and God gives you love. And that word for that love is agape love. There's many words for it in the Greek. That's why the Greek is such a wonderful language. You got so many different. You got the Eros, the affectionate love, the sensual love. You got the fidelphal love, the brotherly love. But the one that only comes from God, God is love, God is agape. And agape love is that unconditional forgiving love that goes beyond anything the world can do, because the world cannot have agape love. Only Christians can have an agape love, and you get that agape love the moment you're saved with the Holy Spirit. For those of you, you've heard me talk about this, but we've got so many guests. But in Galatians, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is, and it gives you the fruits of the Spirit. But notice it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, not are. It's singular. So the fruit of the Spirit, guess what it is? It's love. But as a result of the love that the Holy Spirit gives you, that's where you get the other fruits of the Spirit: temperance, meekness, patience, joy, peace. All those come. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came within you, and He gave you agape love that you've never had before. The world can't have it. None of the world. That's why it shouldn't surprise you that the world can't love like you can love. That's why the world can get vengeance and you don't have to. The world has to get even, but you don't have to. The world can't forgive, but you have to. And you can, because the Spirit of God has brought the love of God, agape love, into your heart. And Paul said this: we need to love as touching brotherly love more and more. But I don't have to teach you on it, because the Holy Spirit's already done it. God's already taught you about it. So I don't have to teach the folks, if you're born again in this room, about love. God's already done that. Because you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have agape love that indwells you. That's what he says. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so it's really impossible for believers not to love. Notice I said that. Listen to me. It's impossible for believers not to love, because you have the love of God in you. I know believers can be mean sometimes. I know believers can be hurtful sometimes. But you can't stay that way. You can't stay angry. And I say that. The key. And you say, what's the big deal about this? Well, the key is John 13. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you with agape love, that ye love one another, agape one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So the key for the world to see Christ is the love of God. And that's why Paul says, increase that love. I don't have to teach about it. God's already given you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has taken that love and placed it within you, and you now have the ability to forgive. You have the ability to love even the unlovely. You have the ability to unconditionally serve others and help others even when they don't say thank you. You know, it's amazing to me. But we have so many meals at this church. It's sort of evident the way I look. We have so many meals, and they're wonderful meals, but you know what? There's some folks that stay around and clean up those meals and do dishes. And you know what? And they're not being mean, but no, typically nobody says thank you to them. Nobody recognizes them. I don't come into the pulpit and say, so-and-so and so-and-so did a wonderful job today. You know why? You know why they did it? Because they're indwelt with the love of God. You have that ability, folks. But you can't harbor that hatred in your life. You can't keep that in, because it can't be there. It's impossible for a Christian not to love. So if I see somebody that does just incapable of loving you, you're bitter, you're angry, you know what my first thought is? They're not born again. That's not coming from me. That's coming from John. He said this: he that saith he's in the light, he's in the light, he's been saved, he's born again, he's a Christian, he's a believer. He that saith he's in the light, but hates his brother, he is in darkness even till now. Don't tell me you have the love of God and you hate your brother. You want nothing to do with a brother or sister in Christ. You want nothing to do with this, and because, Pastor, you don't know what they, yeah, you're right, I don't know, but I know what I did to Christ, and he forgave me. I know how I let Jesus Christ down all through high school, time and time again, but he still loves me. And if he's willing to forgive me, I'm able to forgive anybody. And I have that responsibility. And you don't have to be taught that, because the Holy Spirit has put the love of God in you and has taught you that already. Don't use the excuse, well, I never, you know, I grew up on the other side of the tracks, and I grew up in a home that hated, and I was this, and I was that, and I was this. Well, are you born again? If you are, you're a new creation in Christ. Stop using the excuse that I used to do this. That's what Paul's saying. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't get in neutral. Don't go back. Go forward. And love one another. He said that's one of the practical exhortations. That's what makes a difference to an unsaved world. That's what makes a difference to people outside your church, that they know you're a Christian. They know you love God because you have love one for another. It's not that you love God more. It's you love one another more. That's the proof that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, John continues on. He said, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's a proof. That's one of the proofs that you can know you're born again. You say, Pastor, I don't even know if I'm born again. Well, the question is, do you love one another? Do you have that agape love? He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We're Christians. We're born again because of the love of God. But he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Boy, those are some strong words. They're coming from me. This is coming from John under the power of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you hate, there's a chance you're not in the light. Now, I know you could get mad at somebody, but you can't stay mad at somebody. Truly be born again. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. The Holy Spirit's taught you how to love, and he's given you agape love, not an Aries love that comes and goes, not a Fidelpha love, a brotherly love, but agape love, an unconditional love you have indwelling within you, and the Holy Spirit wants to take that and use that in your life. Agape love is the noblest form of love. It comes from God, and it's voluntarily driven, not motivated. You can't get it by superficial appearance or emotional attraction or sentimental relationship. It's a gift from God. It is a love that each Christian has because it comes from God. And nobody has to teach you about love, because you've already experienced it as salvation, as the Holy Spirit has placed the love of God in your heart. So the idea Paul's saying here is, he said, you need, but as for brotherly love, you need to increase more and more. So not only the church, but all of Macedonia knows that you continuing to love God. They can tell there's something different about the Thessalonian church. There's something different about the Faith Baptist church, because they have a love of God one for another. Boy, you know what? So many churches will raise money and give it to the world, and I never see any results from it, because I don't think that's God's way. My Bible tells me that I have to love one another, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And as I love them, the world sees that there's something different in us. Listen, the world doesn't need your money. You know, Jesus fed the multitudes. Remember? Larry talked about it in Sunday school today. He fed the 5,000 people, and they got a smorgasbord of fish and bread, all you can eat. And then what'd they do? A little bit later, they said, crucify him. Crucify him. Kill him! Crucify him. But that's not God's plan. That's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you don't have to be taught by me how to love. You don't have to be taught how to serve a brother or sister in Christ. You don't have to be taught the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says. He said, God's already taught you to love one another. And indeed, he says, you're doing it right now toward Macedonia, and all of them are Macedonia. But I beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Don't fall into neutral. Well, Pastor, I prayed for everybody this week. I'm going to take a week off. That shouldn't be your attitude. Well, I helped somebody last week. Great. Praise the Lord. Who can you help this week? Boy, I tell you what, if Faith Baptist Church will demonstrate the love of God to each other, the world will see it. And it'll make a difference in their lives. That's what Paul's trying to say here. He was convinced if they exhibited their love toward the brethren in the church, that all the brothers and sisters in Macedonia and all that area would begin to see the love of God. And they already had. The Macedonians had received some hospitality, some kind gifts of mercy and sacrificial deeds, even though they were under persecution. They'd already done it. Paul knew it. But Paul knew how important it was in the Christian life, so he urged them to increase more and more in the love of Jesus Christ. So, but as touching brotherly love, I don't have to teach you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. And now you know you can love. You can forgive unconditionally. That's the power you have that the world doesn't have. You don't have to be bitter. Matter of fact, you shouldn't be bitter. You shouldn't be angry, because if you say you're in the light and you hate your brother, John said you walk in darkness. You're not in the light. Wow, those are some deep words. But as touching brotherly love. You know, that's the key for Faith Baptist Church. That's the key to reaching our communities for Jesus Christ. It's to love one another. Boy, when you get that right, folks, you know, one thing I do like about Faith Baptist Church, I love about it, it's a friendly church. Don't change. Don't go backwards. Love every person that walks in that door. You're capable. Love each other unconditionally. You're capable. Love is always demonstrated in an act of service, meeting the needs, or sacrificially. So many people sacrificially bring meals. A lot of people tell me I'm nuts for having a meal, so many meals at Faith Baptist Church. But I want to be a blessing to people. Well, you don't know what it's like to go out there and have you sit around a meal and sit around a table and fellowship with each other and talk with each other. I just sit back and I'm amazed. The love of God. That's the key to Faith Baptist Church. That's the key to any church. But as touching brotherly love, that you increase more and more. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. That's just the first exhortation. Paul gives three more. They're equally important, but I only had time for one today. But I don't know if you've ever heard it like this, but you have the love of God in you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's been shed abroad. And so you don't need to to have me tell you you need to meet the needs of others. You don't need me to tell you you need to sacrificially help somebody else. You don't need me to tell you you need to forgive and forget. You don't need me to tell you you can't be angry with a brother or sister in Christ, or you can't stay angry. You don't need me to tell you that, because the Holy Spirit already has. It's there. But as touching brotherly love, my prayer for Faith Baptist Church has been that we increase more and more. Paul said there's faith, hope, and charity, or love, but the greatest of these is love. Love is the difference maker. And I know we need to love the world, but the key is love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the key. Father, help us now to understand this truth and apply it. Probably most of the people in this room, and probably by the sound of my voice, are born again. They have agape love. They have the Spirit of God within them, and it's been shed abroad in their hearts. Lord, help us to demonstrate that love. In just a moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Julie's just going to play through one verse. We call it an invitation at our church.